I next called upon Mrs. Charpentier, continued the detective. I found her very pale and distressed. Her daughter was in the room, too, an uncommonly fine girl she is, too. She was looking red about the eyes, and her lips trembled as I spoke to her. That didn't escape my notice. I began to smell a rat. You know that feeling, Mr. Sherlock Holmes, when you come upon the right scent, a kind of thrill in your nerves? Have you heard of the mysterious death of your late boarder, Mr. Enoch J. Drebber of Cleveland? I asked. The mother nodded. She didn't seem able to get out a word. The daughter burst into tears. I felt more than ever that these people knew something of the matter. At what o'clock did Mr. Drebber leave your house for the train? I asked. At 8 o'clock, she said, gulping in her throat to keep down her agitation. His secretary, Mr. Stangerson, said that there were two trains, one at 9:15 and one at 11. He was to catch the first. And was that the last which you saw of him? A terrible change came over the woman's face as I asked the question. Her features turned perfectly livid. It was some seconds before she could get out the single word, yes. And when it did come, it was in a husky, unnatural tone. There was a silence for a moment, and then the daughter spoke in a calm, clear voice. No good can ever come of falsehood, mother, she said. Let us be frank with this gentleman. We did see Mr. Drebber again. God forgive you, cried Mrs. Charpentier, throwing up her hands and sinking back in her chair. You have murdered your brother. Arthur would rather that we spoke the truth, the girl answered firmly. You had best tell me all about it now, I said. Half confidences are worse than none. Besides, you do not know how much we know of it. On your head be it, Alice, cried her mother, and then turning to me, I will tell you all, sir. Do not imagine that my agitation on behalf of my son arises from any fear lest he should have had a hand in this terrible affair. He is utterly innocent of it. My dread is, however, that in your eyes, and in the eyes of others, he may appear to be compromised. That, however, is surely impossible. His high character, his profession, his antecedents would all forbid it. Your best way is to make a clean breast of the facts, I answered. Depend upon it, if your son is innocent, he will be none the worse. Perhaps, Alice, you had better leave us together, she said, and her daughter withdrew. Now, sir, she continued, I had no intention of telling you all this, but since my poor daughter has disclosed it, I have no alternative. Having once decided to speak, I will tell you all without omitting any particular. It is your wisest course, said I.